This is an introduction to shamanic astrology as taught by Daniel Gemario, and is specifically designed to provide valuable information about your first shamanic astrology reading. This introduction covers the philosophy of shamanic astrology, how the chart is revealed through the script, the cycles and their significance, and an investigation into relationships through chart comparison. Shamanic astrology readings provide clues within an archetypal and mythical framework, creating greater awareness for conscious participation with life purpose and great mystery. Each reading acts to cellularly activate the divine blueprint and bring it further into conscious awareness and understanding so we can uniquely and creatively express our true essence. At the turning of the ages, our perception of time accelerates and collective confusion is prevalent. Shamanic astrology provides us with a valuable tool for confirming what we already know or sense and assists us in trusting our own inner knowing and inner process. Thus, we can better comprehend and embrace the essence of our original intent while consciously dreaming the dream onward. Shamanic astrology is designed to assist an individual in taking responsibility for their own life. This system is based on the Hermetic principle, which says, as above, so below, as within, so without. This is not operating from the perspective of cause and effect. Rather, the basis of this comes from the understanding that the cycles or the patterns of the outer world correspond with the inner cycles and patterns of our own psyche. These cycles and patterns represent the unfoldment of our own lives. Carl Jung referred to this as, quote, synchronicity, meaning events that happen together in time. Thus, it is acausal. The outer cycles don't cause the inner cycles. They are reflections of each other. Shamanic astrology takes this idea even beyond that and suggests the outer cycles and the inner cycles are precisely the same thing. The patternings of the constellations are the as above representation of our so below, and the great myths and theme is rooted in our culture and therefore rooted in our consciousness. Shamanic astrology looks at the natal chart as a script with clues about our original intent. Thus, the symbols and the archetypes of the script are statements of intent. A human being always has the freedom to choose to cooperate with their original intent or not. We're not forced to be a certain way. 12 individuals with Sun in Aries and Mars in Scorpio are not all the same, but they all do have the same intent. The main purpose of shamanic astrology is to give a person the understanding of their original intent, thereby assisting them through the power of knowledge in taking command and control of their own life and giving them a vision of possibilities. These possibilities include a sense of life purpose, empowering the person with the knowledge of what their life purpose issues are. This is based on the idea that the predominant human motivation is not survival, not power, not sexuality, but is ultimately the quest for meaning and purpose. The quest for meaning and purpose is the real foundation of what drives people. So if everything in life is going badly, but the person has a sense of meaning or purpose, they can sort it out. They can go forward. If they can discern what the underlying meaning is, then they can create a life that has purpose and magic. This is not sun sign astrology, and it does not emphasize sun signs. The sun is one of many factors on the natal chart. In the last 150 years, an emphasis was placed on sun signs because it was easy for a person to know their sun sign. Before the popularization of sun sign astrology, people often gave their moon sign when asked what their sign was. The sun is in a sign for about 30 days, and the moon is in a sign for about 2.5. So the moon sign is way more individualizing than the sun sign. However, even using the moon sign is a limiting approach, because the chart as a whole is important, and extracting any one element from it does not adequately identify a person. In shamanic astrology, all the archetypes of the signs and planets are valid and equally important. For example, the moon can show up in any one of 12 different signs. No one sign is greater or better, and no one sign is worse for the moon or any other planet. Whether or not a person experiences their moon sign as comparatively easy or difficult is based upon what the prejudices of a given culture are. Our current culture has rendered judgments in the past that have supported certain approaches to being human and invalidated others. Shamanic astrology is a full-spectrum approach, presenting the vision and understanding that all archetypal approaches to being human are valid. It is time now to know, understand, and validate the expression of the full spectrum of human potential, including all the archetypes and all the different possibilities available to the male and the female principles. Shamanic astrology is an antidote for patriarchal extremes. Patriarchal astrology elevated the sun sign as one god above all others. Ultimately, it was the elevation of the male principle above all others. Shamanic astrology looks at the whole horoscope in a polytheistic way. There are many gods and goddesses. One principle or one planet does not operate in a healthy way without reference to all of the rest of them. The sun, moon, Venus, and Mars. And all of the planets represent the complexity of the entire script. We are, however, not invalidating the importance of the sun. In shamanic astrology, we recognize the sun, visibly and experientially, as a very dominant and important issue. We can't even look at the sun without turning away. It could be seen as the actual manifestation of great mystery itself, as an energetic life force, as a fuel. Most of everything else in shamanic astrology operates with reference to the sun. We simply don't project any specific symbol of masculine or feminine or any particular archetype onto the sun. Shamanic astrology looks at the horoscope as a symphony of three movements, or as a script for our life, outlining the original intent. The chart as a symphony plays the first movement through the lineage. The lineage refers to the idea that when a person is born, they are not a blank slate. A person comes into the life with a whole series of expectations, habits, addictions, and attitudes that are in place at birth. The moon position is an indicator of past life themes, what a tribe a person comes from, what university they have several PhDs from, the family history, and what is written in the genetic code. Although past life themes are referred to, this is not literal past life work. We are looking at the past life themes in a mythological way, or as an underlying mythos for a person's life. Whether or not a person has literally had these experiences in past lives is irrelevant, because the stories work. We are creating a personal mythology for each person from the symbols on the horoscope that have to do with lineage. The moon position is saying what a person was doing in the past. For example, a person with a Capricorn moon has mastery in the area of the Capricorn archetype or mystery school. They come into the life with training or impressions in that version of reality. This introduction is not designed to go into the meaning of all the different moon positions or the meanings associated with the other portions of the script. Rather, this is designed to give a sense of the scope of the script. So when a person receives their reading, they have an idea of the kinds of things that will be covered. Knowledge of the moon allows us to determine the addictions and the attachments a person has. Sometimes these are called the fixations, particularly in work with the Enneagram. It also represents the areas of life where a person, at a certain point, has to get their power back. It is important to know it doesn't matter how perfect a person is with their moon or their lineage. Even if they lived the principles of their moon tribe perfectly, it is insufficient to their liberation or insufficient to the accomplishment of current life purpose. Living according to the principles of the moon alone are regressive. At best, the moon is the foundation, the ground on which all the current life activity stands on, but without attachment. Interestingly, the only portion of the entire horoscope that has much to do with how a person tends to be when they come into the life is the moon position. Virtually everything else on the entire horoscope are statements of intent. That's why the moon position is similar to the portions of astrology describing personality traits, general characteristics, and qualities that a person is born with. Now we're going to look at the tools and the equipment. The second part of the script has to do with the tools and the equipment of the current life. There are four symbols that determine what the tools and the equipment are. These symbols are the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. The Sun is best understood as the fuel that a person burns or the type of food a person needs to eat or consume so they can grow as quickly as possible in the direction of their current life goals. However, the Venus and Mars positions are more important with reference to the specific archetype or the images associated with the version of the feminine and the masculine that a person is working on in the current life. The male and female principles are like a 12-spoked wheel. Each spoke of the wheel is presided over by different gods or goddesses, different stories, different myths, and different sets of themes. This is a system of 24 archetypes. The importance of this is that it gives the entire spectrum of possibilities. Remember, all the gods and goddesses, or all the Venus and Mars positions, are equally valid and important. There is no judgment about one being better or worse than another. Since the Venus and Mars positions are archetype specific, they are more dominant than the sun sign. If the sun sign is in a different sign than the Venus or the Mars position, it is important to first understand the Venus or the Mars positions. Once the Venus and Mars positions are understood, then we say they burn the fuel of the sun. Approximately 1 out of 12 men have the sun and Mars in the same sign. Approximately 1 out of 3 to 4 women have Venus and the sun in the same sign. The majority of people have an individualistic feature that requires an understanding of the archetype of Venus or Mars as something separate from the sun. Remember, rather than being statements of how a person is, these are statements of intent. As mentioned before, 12 people with Mars in Scorpio may not all be the same, but they do all have the same intent. Astrology in this form cannot be proven by mechanistic, linear, scientific methods because intent cannot be quantified. Otherwise, correlations could be made about people with Mars in Scorpio, such as they will end up becoming nuclear physicists, or they will always have a particular sexual style. However, because Mars in Scorpio is a statement of intent, it can't be quantified. Men with Mars in Scorpio either desire to develop the qualities associated with Mars in Scorpio, or they are already in the process of developing these qualities, but because of all of these factors and others not yet mentioned, they are still not all the same. Spiritual psychology can't be quantified in a mechanistic, left-brained, logical, rational way, because it is dynamic and progressive and needs conscious awareness to activate it. The fourth element of this portion of the script is Mercury. Mercury represents the version of cognition and perception and communication that a person comes into the life learning to form relationship with. It could be represented in more modern language as the kind of software that a person gets when they come into the life. Any analysis of the chart that would have to do with communication and different ways of thinking and cognizing would be related to Mercury and its relationship with the lineage in the moon position. There is a fifth symbol, Jupiter. The Jupiter position occupies kind of a transitional role between the second movement and the third movement. It would represent a type or a style of life, a kind of yoga, forms of activities that a person would engage in the life to get them most easily to the third movement of the symphony, which we will now look at. So this section is on the ascendant and the other angles of the chart. The third portion of the script, which has to do with what all that we've talked about so far is leading to. This is the most individualizing and important part of the script. It is why we need to know the birth time. Without knowing the exact birth time, we cannot know the angles of the horoscope, the ascendant, the descendant, the midheaven, and the IC. The angles change degrees about every 4 minutes and change signs about every 2 hours. This is what individuates the horoscope and describes the uniqueness of each person. Without the exact birth time, about 75% of the script is accessible, such as what tribe a person is from, who is the emerging god or goddess, etc. These are important things to know. These factors are not individualistic enough to define what it is that makes a person truly, clearly a separate, unique human being. The angles of the chart deal directly with experiential astrology, because the angles are determined by what is happening in the sky when a person is born. The rising sign is the primary symbol of a person's current life mystery school, life purpose, or we call the personal identity project. The midheaven symbolizes the right livelihood project. Historically, in astrology, what is coming up over the eastern horizon and what is directly overhead at the time of birth are the most important symbols of a person's fate or destiny. Hence, the extremely high-level importance of these symbols in shamanic astrology. The shamanic astrology medicine wheel shows how the four angles of the chart work, and it shows the goddess Venus and the god Mars, the tribal totem, the moon position, and then the fuel, the sun sign. Sometimes in certain forms of shamanism, this could be thought of as spirit horse. The spirit horse is what we ride to get to our goal. What we ride, represented by the sun, is a generalized sense of energy. The specific costume we wear to reach our goal is the archetype of the god Mars or the goddess Venus that we intend to experience on our journey. Now we're going to look at the outer planets as the strategy for life intent. With this, we look at seven planetary processes of initiation. In virtually every form of shamanism, our life experience is divided into three worlds, three realms. One could be called the overworld, which we sometimes use the expression the celestial realm. Then there would be the middle world. Some people would call that the, quote, real world. I'll sometimes use the expression this world. And then there would be the underworld or the lower world. All the different strategic planetary initiations are involved with one of these three realms. In shamanic astrology, the outer planets represent these various kinds of strategies. The hard aspects, squares, oppositions, and conjunctions. And the outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Chiron, Jupiter cycles, and also the cycles of the nodes of the moon, define the strategy employed by an individual to wake up. Strategy is designed to assist a person in reaching their current life goals most quickly. The strategy can include some of the most excruciating wake-up call situations and defines whether a person has what some might call a coasting path or an easy chart where there's not that much happening. Some people have way more highly melodramatic lives where they are constantly at the effect of dramatic events happening to them, where they have to react. There are no judgments, positive or negative, about any strategy. For example, horoscopes with the most extreme versions of Saturn and Pluto strategy, which certainly could be called the most drastic versions of strategy, are not judged as, quote, bad in shamanic astrology. In traditional astrology, it is difficult to come up with anything good to say about such aspects. Shamanic astrology views these aspects as an intelligent strategy for waking up. A person cannot but get it, because eventually they do end up getting the joke. The joke involves understanding things about life that the average person may never become aware of or to know. First, we look at the basic elements of the script. Then we look at the strategy. After the investigation of the strategy, we look at the cycles. Often the main reason many individuals choose to get an astrology reading is because of specific cycles or timings. The universe is supportive of a human being who consciously participates with their cycles. This is one of the cornerstone philosophies of shamanic astrology. If a person knows what cycle they are in, they stand to benefit. For example, there are times in a person's life when all of the doors are closed. This is a time when there are far better things they can do than to keep trying to make things work in the world, similar to beating one's head against the wall. Conversely, there are timings when all the doors are open, but if a person doesn't know that, they might just kick back, take it easy, and miss the opening, miss the opportunities. Remember, no cycle, in and of itself, is good or bad. All cycles have a reason for being. When we know and understand what initiation cycles we are in, we can benefit. There are certain cycles that are experienced as beyond ordinary reality. For example, the cycles that operate in the upper world or the lower world or underworld are like that. They are designed to produce a certain type of initiation. When we know that we are in one of those cycles, we can consciously give ourselves permission to experience the intent of the cycle. One of astrology's greatest contributions is to identify what cycles we are in, the intent of the cycle, and then how to participate in that cycle. There are cycles that are totally confusing. Others could be a time for a walkabout, a time for a vision quest, a time when it is completely okay to just not know. Conversely, there are cycles when it is time for the person to be clear and focused, take some kind of specific action in the real world. There are some cycles that are also free spaces. Free spaces are times when a person is closer to conscious free will than any other time. So the person can't, quote, blame an astrological cycle for what is happening. Cycles have a beginning, middle, and end. Knowing what cycle we are in is liberating in our understanding of what process we are undergoing. Knowledge of the precise astrological points of the cycles gives us specific dates we can use in a ceremonial way. These dates do not necessarily indicate some amazing event scheduled to happen to a person from the outside. Rather, knowledge of the timing allows the person the option of letting the universe know that they know what is going on. Then they can consciously choose to cooperate with the cycle taking place in and around them. It's a process of consciously co-creating with universal intelligence. When this takes place, the inward and the outward cycles move into alignment. This information is important and useful with reference to relationships. For example, two people who have been in a long-lasting, stable, and happy relationship may be confused when one partner or both partners move into a new cycle. The person going through one of these cycles is no longer the same. However, knowing a cycle has a beginning, middle, and end helps us to understand the process and the intent of the cycle. It helps us know the cycle will end and ordinary reality will return, perhaps transformed into something even more wonderful. Relationship comparisons. Relationship comparisons are another important area to look at. Many people getting a reading have questions either about their relationship, about a new person in their life, or their lack of relationship and what they can do about it. Shamanic astrology looks at what a person is attracted to and what the chart indicates relationship intent is. It is important to know that these are two completely separate issues. The horoscope includes clues about why a person wants to be in a relationship or what their relationship intent is. These are similar to the characteristics looked at by cultures who did, for example, in the past, arranged marriages, or marriages based upon family history, class, and/or economic status. There are many different possibilities for relationship intent. Shamanic astrology recognizes and validates each of these. Another portion of the horoscope has to do with romantic love and physical attraction. This is the area of the chart that has to do with the, quote, magical masculine and the, quote, magical feminine. We are all wired to be attracted to a certain kind of person. About two-thirds of the time, what we are attracted to and our true relationship intent are drastically different. Many of the difficulties that people have in relationship are due to this reason. In fact, the great majority of the time when relationships do not work, it's not because one person lacked merit, and it's not because one or both partners don't know much about relationship. It simply has to do with these differences in their intent for relationship. This is why it is important to understand the principle of sacred marriage. The sacred marriage is when a man walks through life with the magical feminine on his arm at all times, regardless of who he is with or whether he is with anyone at all. The sacred marriage for a woman is when she walks through life with the magical masculine on her arm at all times, regardless of who she is with or whether she was with anyone at all. It is owning and taking responsibility for the inner masculine or the inner feminine. Then it doesn't matter anymore if a person has a successful relationship or not, because they are now complete, autonomous, and sovereign on their own. It should be mentioned here that these principles are not only related to heterosexual couples. Men who are in same-sex relationships will still have a certain principle on their chart that is projected. A man will actually project his Venus position even onto a same-sex partner. The same thing would be true for women, except that what they're doing is they're projecting their Mars position onto a same-sex partner. However, once the sacred marriage takes place, some people will be on a path of relationship, and others may not be. The script helps to sort this out. The people having the most difficulty with relationship are almost always the ones who have set their life up in such a way they are forced to do the sacred marriage, which in the long run is not a bad thing. These same techniques of chart comparison also work in helping to sort out the circumstances with parents, brothers, sisters, friends, co-workers, and business partners. For the purpose of the 75-minute first session, if you want to include two more charts, making a total of four, then those would only be used with specific questions. For example, if you have a concern about your son who's going through a crisis, or if you have a business partner who you have great concerns about, we can look at that chart and answer questions about it, but not spend a lot of your time in your reading by doing a full analysis of that chart. We can always do that in a later reading. The purpose of this introduction is to give a sense of the scope of what a person can gain from a shamanic astrology reading. Again, the purpose of all of this work is to provide the clues and information that assists a person in the process of waking up. It helps each individual take responsibility for their own evolutionary path and supports the Aquarian dispensation that states, every human being should have the freedom to take personal responsibility for their own evolutionary path. How can we truly live in freedom unless we really know all the possibilities? When there is only a limited range of possibilities available, we can't really be free. For example, if a person has as their distinct color, say, purple, and they're born into a family that only sees red, white, and blue, what happens to purple? They may be totally ignored, in which case they don't get any validation or feedback for how they are doing with purple. A more negative example is if the person is punished for being that color. There is no tolerance or freedom unless all the possibilities are known and affirmed. In shamanic astrology, the rising sign indicates a person's enlightenment path. This is not an attempt to define spiritual enlightenment, as that is an issue beyond duality and difficult to actually speak of. Rather, it is acknowledging that different people have different paths to reach their place of self-actualization or total freedom. Some spiritual traditions refer to it as a person's way of, quote, getting off the wheel. It is a kind of comprehensive enlightenment where each person is totally free. No path is better than another. There are 12 distinct paths with infinite variations on how to fully achieve mastery of that specific path. This is defined by the rising sign and all of the other factors of the chart identifying the uniqueness of that path. The following brief examples of rising signs are limited to the rising sign only. All the other factors on the chart are important for a comprehensive picture. Libra rising suggests a person can't truly reach enlightenment without experiencing some form of non-hierarchical conscious equal partnership. It is a process-oriented path of relationship where we learn more about ourselves through the other. Scorpio rising requires the person to master life force energy. It is more of a tantric path that includes feeling the feelings, especially passion. The Sagittarius or Aquarius rising sign path requires the development of the virtues of detachment and cosmic overview. The Sagittarius or Aquarius paths are more closely associated with the idea of getting off the wheel or going to higher states of consciousness, or sometimes people refer to that as ascension. They desire to disconnect from deep involvement with the physical and the emotional. Capricorn rising is resonant with karma yoga, or more of a householder path, where one is developing responsible administration of their domain. These are examples of how different people have different legitimate paths leading them to their own state of freedom or self-realization. When all of the clues start to make sense, then we can begin to clearly answer these questions. What is my contribution? What is my job? What color am I? What god or goddess do I most express? What is my unique individual creative self-expression? And so on. Magic happens in our life when three things are in exact alignment. One, it's the right timing. Two, we've actually developed a relationship with our tools. And three, our desire is in alignment with what the original life dreams are, or is legitimately part of our script. If those three things are together, life can be truly magical. If any one of those three things is not in place, then at best we must be patient while expanding our self-awareness. Collective humanity is at the end and the beginning of an entire 26,000-year processional cycle. At the time of the creation of this CD, mid-2005, many, many different calendric traditions, shamanic traditions, are coming forth with their knowledge that this is a significant turning point. Sometimes it's called the galactic alignment. One set of criterion actually shows the exact midpoint of the 26,000-year cycle. That is to say, either the midpoint or the end and the beginning of the entire processional cycle actually took place in May 1998, when there is a triple conjunction of the plane of the galaxy, the plane of the solar system, and the movement of the solstice points to those intersection points. There's, of course, the well-known end of the Mayan calendar, that if you use the long count, is sometime in 2012. Different traditions have come up with different dates. We don't really make at this point a big issue about what specific date the end and the beginning is. Rather, we're in the zone. Whether we say the center point of the zone is 1998 or 2012 or 2001, or the movement of the great star Regulus into a new sign, which is what Rajar used as his criterion. The truth is, we are at that turning point. And whether we give a 72-year cusp to it or 144-year cusp to it, it doesn't really matter that much. What's more important is what happens at the end and the beginning of a cycle. Everything speeds up and is recapitulated as the 26,000-year time track is reaching its conclusion. The origination point is nearly 26,000 years in the past. This means that all of the dreams and visions that each of us has had on our personal time track are reaching completion. The dreams we have dreamed are now to be fulfilled. That's why it's so important to be in touch with what the original life dreams are. We're also dreaming the dream onward into the next cycle. Conscious and unconscious dreaming at this time is seeding the next 26,000 years. How you can consciously participate. One way is to know your script and your timings. Because we are at the end of a 26,000-year cycle, most of the principles of traditional astrology either do not work or are not particularly relevant. They represent or speak of issues that are not of any particular use to people at this time. In the midst of this speeded-up phenomena, we need tools to tune in as fast as possible to the original life purpose issues. Equally important is using the astrological timings with as much awareness as possible, so we are consciously co-creating with the intelligence of the universe. This version of astrology works best as dialogue. The more you can share and bring to the session, the more depth that comes from it, and the more insights you will get. The exactness and precision of this process operates directly from the amount of feedback that takes place. It is the soul-to-soul encounter, not an abstraction or something that can be done on a computer. Through the soul-to-soul encounter, the gods and goddesses and symbols and myths come alive They are cellularly and consciously enlivened, and this assists us on our journey. This is a journey of discovery. How do the archetypes and symbols express through you? Myths and stories tell us how the archetypes and symbols expressed in the past. Now they are evolving and seeking new expression through each of us. We are the living, evolving archetypes and myths. This process allows us to participate with greater understanding and awareness so that we are co-creating in a magical way in alignment with our greatest good. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this introduction so you can be fully prepared for your session. And I really look forward to having an opportunity to share with you, whether it be over the phone or should we have the opportunity to meet in person. I'm going to close this introductory CD for shamanic astrology by acknowledging the predecessors, the inspirers that have produced this particular expression of shamanic astrology at this time. We acknowledge the ancient ones, the Greater Shamanic Council of Light, the teachings attributed to Hermes Thoth Trismegistus and the Ark of Grace, from whence originated the philosophy as above, so below, as without, so within. We acknowledge the traditions of the Magi and all the other people of antiquity who knew when it was the turning of the ages. We acknowledge the traditions of the Merlin and the priestesses of Avalon and the ideals of the Round Table. We acknowledge the prophetic traditions of Ezekiel and Daniel. We acknowledge and honor the calendric wizardry of the Maya, and in particular, their mastery around the cycles of Venus. We acknowledge the contribution of the Hellenistic civilization in their invention of the zodiac based on signs, that is to say, the solstices and equinoxes. We acknowledge the transmissions that came from the Chinese civilization, particularly their mastery around Jupiter. We acknowledge the brilliance of the Vedic civilization, in particular their work with the lunar mansions. We particularly acknowledge the way in which the Neolithic peoples of antiquity, and up to this current day in certain parts of the world, live their lives in accordance with the sacred connection between the land and the sky. And more recently, we acknowledge the astrosophy of Rudolf Steiner, the cosmology of Dane Rudjar, and the archetypal visions of C.G. Jung. I would also like to acknowledge my teachers, not in human form, a great stone monument in Joshua Tree, also great stone outcroppings at Organ Pipe National Monument, and some of my greatest teachers, including Haleakala and Mount Shasta, from where I learned Division Quest. And lastly, the great stone circles of the far north, particularly Kalanish, where the great shining ones made their appearance. These and others have inspired these traditions, and I give thanks.